That is John Tibbs, a great Christian recording artist, and he's going to be here in concert 3 weeks from today on February the 5th. That is Super Bowl Sunday. John will be here giving both shows that morning, 9 o'clock and 10:45 services. Wonderful recording artist. He also used to give Pastor Hunter wedgies because that's John is his older brother, so in case you wanted to know that as well. But so it's Super Bowl Sunday. He'll be here both services. Invite someone. It's going to be wonderful. That's going to be a great day. We're going to have John bless us with some incredible music, and then we're going to watch the Patriots win the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great Sunday. Guys, would you just take a moment and tell someone around you that you're glad to see him and greet each other for just a moment?
Hey.
All right. Well, guys, today we are starting week two of a sermon series that we are in. It's going to be 4 weeks called Questions. And I thought that the beginning of the year was a great time to do this series, which is kind of more geared towards maybe if you're a guest here today or still searching in your faith. We spent last week and we're going to spend today, the next 2 weeks, going over questions that people have about church, about God, about the Bible, about faith. New Year's is a great time. Some people make resolutions to come to church. And so if you're here today and you're still searching, this is a safe place. This is a great place for us to talk about some of these things. If you're here today and you have put your faith in Christ and you are walking and living life with Him, this is great for you as well, because we need to understand some questions and things that people have questions and concerns about when it comes to faith. So last week we talked about how can we know that God exists? And today we're going to talk about can the Bible be trusted? And then next week we're going to ask the age-old question of, man, if God is good and loves us, why is there so much tragedy and suffering in the world? And then week four we'll examine why we believe that Jesus is the only way to God and the only way to heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter to sanctify and worship Christ as Lord of our life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So it's important that we go over such things, and we talked last week that the created world and that Scripture and our personal experiences testify to God's existence. We talked a little bit about creation, and I just looked up this morning. Do you know right now that they believe, and I've said this before, there are 100 billion galaxies in the universe? I mean, it is beyond our comprehension, and that's sometimes how we feel about God. But we mentioned last week that God's word intentionally leaves room for doubt, because without room for doubt, there's no capacity to exercise or to have faith. Amen? Without room for doubt, there's no room for capacity to exercise our faith. And I firmly believe that. So today we're going to talk about God's word, and let me give one caveat before I start. I believe, I have, and will base my life upon the fact that God's word is infallible. It is perfect from beginning to end. It is historically accurate. It is the revelation of God. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's truths about morality and human nature and the human heart and existence are timeless, and there's nothing new under the sun, as it says. And so that's what I believe, but I also know there are people who don't believe that, and maybe you're here today and you're not sure as well. So I want to start with kind of one of the more common things I hear people say, and even from churchgoers, is I don't understand the Bible. And I get that a little bit. Sometimes it can be tough, but we must understand that God reveals His truth to us when we have surrendered our hearts and our wills to Him. And it's okay that you understand sometimes you do need to wrestle with the Word of God and pray and fast and seek God, because God will reveal. And so today we're going to ask the question, is the Bible trustworthy? Are there mistakes in it? And sometimes, here's what I think we do as believers sometimes with this subject. We sweep it under the rug because we know what we believe. We know that the Bible is true, and we don't want to touch the subject of is the Bible completely right, or what does this mean? Did this really happen? What does this say? So I think what we do is sometimes we treat the subject of the Bible and its infallibility and its accuracy like you treat that person when you're at the grocery store, you see in the next aisle and you act like you didn't see him and you back up real quick. You just avoid it. Like you avoid them. Or maybe you guys have that weird relative that is at every family gathering and you spend the entire holiday making sure you don't get stuck in a one-on-one conversation with them. Oh, there's Uncle so-and-so here. And by the way, if you don't have that relative or that doesn't hit home, you probably are that relative. And so that's okay if you are. God still loves you. But this is a safe place here today, and so I understand that today may be a little tough, some of these questions or whatever, but I hope maybe today could be a game changer for you as we work through a little bit, some of these things. And so I guess the first thing I sometimes hear people talk about is they have trouble with, this is our first of four things I've identified, it's not a comprehensive list, it's what I believe. Sometimes I hear people say they have trouble with some of the stories in the Bible. How could that have happened? I don't understand that. You know, we think about the burning bush. God revealed himself in a bush that was burning, and there was the presence of God. And I'm like, I've never seen that. And I feel like sometimes people, like with that story, they're probably wondering, I wonder if the guy who wrote that story was burning something. You know what I mean? Half of you laughed, half of you are mad at me. This is not how I feel, because I know God's word to be true and alive and active and powerful. But people have trouble sometimes with the stories in the Bible. Think about parting the Red Sea. It's like, did that really happen? Yes, it did. But why? Why would God do that? Why wouldn't God just strike the Egyptians down? I mean, why go to all that trouble and this parting of the Red Sea? And sometimes people have trouble with some of the stories in the Bible. Think about the story of Balaam. You guys remember Balaam and the donkey? Balaam ran from God, and so God lamed the donkey. It's in Numbers. This is a donkey talking. It says, then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times? The donkey said to Balaam. You have made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. If I had a sword with me, I would kill you. But I am the same donkey you've ridden all your life, it answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. A talking donkey. It happened. I wasn't there. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. Why in the world would a donkey talk? I don't really know. And the King James Version doesn't use the word donkey, by the way. It uses another word, which is accurate. But I don't need to understand that. I just know that it's in God's word and it happened. But people sometimes, they have some problems with some of the stories in the Bible. And we need to understand that they do. And we as Christians aren't redemptive to lost people when they say that. And we say, well, you know what? I believe it's right and it's all true, which it is. But we need to hear them. We need to understand what some of their issues are so we can help them. We can talk through things with them. The second one is one I hear more today. Obviously, I believe than we have in a long time. I hear people say the Bible's not culturally relevant anymore. You know, it was written so long ago. Is it really still relevant? And see, to me, this is human pride. We're so much smarter now than we used to be. Those people back then didn't even have iPads. What did they know about anything? And how can the Bible be relevant? Because we're so much smarter right now. The Bible's old-fashioned. See, I believe, as the Bible says, that there's nothing new under the sun. And I don't believe human nature has ever or will change. We are just as sinful, prideful, rebellious, selfish, arrogant. That's all still in us. We hurt people, we get hurt, we hold on, we don't let go, we question. And so some people think the Bible's culturally irrelevant. I mean, think about what the Bible says about gender roles. In 2017, don't talk to me about gender roles. The Bible says the man's the head of the wife. I don't want to hear that. We're beyond that. Or I don't want to hear what the Bible says about sexuality. Look where culture has went. The Bible's outdated. Or what the Bible says about morality or pride or whatever it is. I mean, think about the Bible claiming that the husband is the head of the wife. Wives, obey your husbands. Ooh, how dare it. See, the Bible also tells husbands to give your lives for your wife. To love her as Jesus loved the church. And if you are blessed enough to be in a relationship and have a husband that serves you and loves you and gives himself to you, you're happy to follow him and you're blessed. Trust me. We think about a lot of things in culture these days. We think about the Bible says that marriage should be a man and a woman. Oh, nope, laws have changed. Everything, the Bible's old-fashioned. No, that's God's design. And I might struggle with that, but that doesn't make the Bible any less true. Guys, there are things in the Bible that I struggle with. That doesn't make the Bible wrong and me right, because that's just how I am. That's who I am. The Bible's right. I need to surrender my heart more and seek Christ more to overcome the sins in my life. People think the Bible is culturally irrelevant, which it's not. Or maybe you read Paul writing back then that says, if you're a slave, obey your master. And we're like, obey? Seriously? Because let's be straightforward this morning. There are some of you here today that you maybe haven't experienced the God that's declared in the Bible. You read about a God who comforts those who mourn, yet you're in a season where you are or you have suffered in your life. You've experienced heartache and hurt and disappointment. Or maybe you read about a perfect God and you've seen so much suffering in this world and so many wrong things. Please come back next week. We will answer that question. Or maybe you read that all things work together for good, but this morning you don't feel like that's what's going on. I promise you it doesn't change that God is real and that He loves you. The Bible is not culturally irrelevant. The Bible is as relevant as it's ever been. And when you open your heart to that, you will see that that is true. The Bible hits on every aspect of the human condition. Every hurt, every heartache, everything that has went wrong, the way that people are, the way that we are. God understands that, and it's in His Word. So some people think the Bible is culturally irrelevant just because it was written a long time ago, which I don't believe that to be true at all. I want you to think about this. If you go and buy something that you have to assemble at a store, right? 2,000 years later, were those instructions still assemble that? Yes. And the Bible is God's instruction manual for our life. And the part of it that was written 2,000 years ago and some of it 4,000 and 5,000 years ago, the Creator wrote it about His creation, you and I. And it doesn't change. It's still as relevant and always will be as it ever has been. The third one, and this is probably number one of the human condition. The Bible's teachings are offensive. They are. They are offensive. I read some of the stuff that's in God's Word about how I am to behave, how I am to treat people, how I am to give away my money, how I am to give away my time, how I am to forgive that hateful, awful person. And that's offensive. But man, how God blesses when I do it. And how God blesses when you follow His teachings. So maybe you doubt this morning thinking some of the teachings of the Bible are offensive. And see, here's the thing, guys. If the Bible truly is the Word of God, then what does it have in your life? It has authority. If there is a God and you believe there's a God, then this is His written, inspired, authoritative Word. It has authority in your life. And guess what? We don't like that. Because we're rebellious, we're sinful, we're prideful. The word authority is inherently offensive to us as humans and very off-putting in 2017 culture, isn't it? Who wants authority? I want to do what I want. It's my life. I want to live how I want. Well, I'll tell you what. I've said this before, and I'll challenge you here again today. You find me one teaching from God's Word that it is harmful for your life to follow, and come see me afterwards if you got one, because I've never found one. And don't pull out some Old Testament law thing. No. Find me one teaching about morality, sexuality, pride, forgiveness, money, your health, your thoughts, how you use your time. Find me one thing that's harmful for your life. You won't find it. But I'll tell you what, I found in my life plenty of stuff that when I disobey, I bring harm to my life. Trust me. God's Word is for our own good. It's only offensive when we look at it that way. Because in 2017 in America, you have the right to run your life, right? Because we're all about selfies. And we're all about self-help and self-esteem and self-satisfaction, right? How many of you, all right, everybody loosen up for me. In a moment, I want you to raise your hand if you know the words or can sing a little bit of the song from Frozen, Let It Go. About a fourth of you are too lazy to raise your hand and a fourth of you don't know it. Okay. Well, that's a movie about a girl named Elsa, and she's going to stop caring about family and society and what they think, and she's just going to be her, right? Now, first of all, let me say, I'm not telling you to not watch Frozen. We're not going to be like, you can never watch or do anything. I'm not telling you to or to not watch it. That's up to you as parents and grandparents, and my kids have seen it. It's cute and all that stuff. But that having been said, I want you to think about the words to that song, the verse that says, there's no right or wrong or rules for me. I'm free. Well, I'll tell you what, this is sarcasm. Go live your life however you want for a year or two and come back and see me and tell me how that's going. Ignore God's word, ignore laws, ignore morality, ignore God's teachings, and you might get away with it for a year or two. Come see me in 5 or 10 years, and if that doesn't work, I'll see you in eternity. Guys, God's word is not offensive. It is for our good because he loves us. But some people find God's word offensive. Why in the world does the Bible say I can't have sex with anyone I want? That's what I want to do. Why in the world does the Bible say that a committed same-sex couple shouldn't be married or that people of other religions are wrong? And why would a loving God create a place or send anyone to something like hell? That's offensive. Some tough stuff. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you believe there's a God, it's his universe, it's his rules. And I believe they're for our good. I believe that they're here because he loves me. I don't always measure up to them. I don't. That doesn't make his teachings offensive. It doesn't make the Bible wrong. It doesn't make God not loving. It makes me more in need of him and his grace. Amen? But some people think that God's teachings are offensive. I understand that. Fourth and final one is that some people say there are documented inconsistencies in the Bible. Isn't scripture wrong or contradictory? No. If you look at the original manuscripts and the translations up until now, God's word has been translated correctly, and we can trust it. From Genesis to Revelation, if you have problems with Genesis, again, I don't have time this morning, email me, come see me. I would love to talk creation with you. I would love to talk evolution with you, and Darwinism as well, and the silliness of that scientifically. But I'll tell you, sometimes people have trouble. They say there's inconsistencies, and I liken that to this. If you have kids and you catch them in a little, or a spouse, whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend, you catch them in a little white lie, does that make it harder to believe when you question them about the big stuff? Any of you ever had kids? It's like, how can I believe you if you're lying about this? Some people feel that way about the Bible. Since I'm not sure about this or I don't like this passage, I'm going to pick and choose to ignore all of it. And I think that, and I know that that is very, very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous to ignore God's word. And you can't accept the resurrection and grace and eternal life and John 3:16 if you don't accept the rest of God's word. So let me try to bring this together. And maybe one or more of these reasons you have or you do struggle with. I'm not going to argue with you today. I've got time for you this week, I promise. But here's the thing. If you have questions, you probably want answers. And you know that you're searching for something. And maybe some of these things or some of these teachings or something in the Bible has kept you from trusting Jesus or has kept you from going deeper in your relationship with him. Or maybe you aren't sure about some of these things or someone has hurt you or you believe that if people who are Christians should follow the Bible, why do they still act the way that they do sometimes? That has nothing to do with a perfect God. We're imperfect people. And here's, if besides the scripture that we have went over and we'll go over today in our last several minutes here, if you hear one thing, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes and listen to this. Can we go to our next quote, please? You will always struggle with other claims in scripture until you accept the claim of scripture. You will always struggle with things in the Bible until you accept the Bible to be what it is, God's true, perfect, infallible word. And until you can accept the claim of scripture, you will struggle with other things. And so what do I mean by what's the claim of scripture? Let's talk about that as our final point today. Despite what you've been taught, not all scripture is equally important. Now hold the tomatoes and stuff you want to throw at me. Despite what you've been taught, not all scripture is equally important. Now, all scripture is God-inspired. All scripture was written under the direction of Holy Spirit, and all scripture is true, but it's not all equally important. Are you telling me that although all scripture is perfect and right, there's a lot of stuff in scripture that is not as important about the fact that the scripture proclaims Jesus raised from the dead? That it proclaims Jesus was the Son of God, the Word incarnate, who came and lived and died for our sins. That's the claim of Scripture. There's one claim that is the claim of Scripture. Can we go to 1 Corinthians 15 if you have your Bibles today? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read several verses. Because there's one claim that's the basis for our faith. And that's Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, raised from the dead. And you know what you will find when you give your heart and life to him? You will begin to be revealed, have revealed to you, and you'll begin to understand the rest of Scripture. I tried to intellectualize faith my first 30 years, and I mean, I still do, and God invites that. That's wonderful. But I tried to think my way into being good enough into my belief and my faith. But it wasn't until I truly gave my heart and life to the Lord, I was done, I'm His, that He revealed to me. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried and He was raised from the dead, and on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. Paul was writing to people just like you and I, and these verses, ultimately, as you think about God's Word, and you can go over it, we should be in it, we're doing the Bible in 1 year this year as a church. Here's the deal. This is the claim of Scripture. This is what you must decide to believe or not, is Jesus. Your faith must be in Him. You must choose to believe or to reject that He came. He lived 33 years. He was murdered. He rose again. And He did all this for a reason, and that reason is you. That reason is that He loves you. That reason is that there is a hell and there is a heaven, and you will be in one of those two places forever. And God made a way for all of mankind by sending Jesus. That's the claim of Scripture. And 1 Corinthians 15:17 reminds us this. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is useless and we're still in our sin. Another translation says your faith is futile and you're still guilty of your sin. And so here's my concern for us today. I think sometimes we do this. Maybe you're here and you're doing this, and we see something in Scripture that we don't like or we don't agree with or we're not crazy about, and we focus on that instead of focusing on Jesus and Jesus alone. Instead of focusing on Jesus and Jesus raised from the dead. Instead of focusing on the fact that He gives us grace and healing and redemption and eternal life, we are concerned about whether or not a donkey spoke or not. Which it did. But I think we need to be careful what the focus of our faith is. So after Jesus rose, He wanted to continue to make sure that the evidence of His resurrection was discoverable. And so 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that He was seen by Peter and the 12. And after that, He was seen by more than 500, and most of whom are still alive. And then He was seen by James and all the apostles. And so, you know, our courts these days, if someone is on trial for murder and there's one credible eyewitness, guess what happens? They get convicted. And so why in the world is it that we have all the historical evidence? We have God's Word. We have the eyewitnesses. We have the billions of changed lives throughout time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that I know Him. I don't have any doubt at all because I know Jesus. He lives inside of my heart. He is my Lord and Savior. He is revealed to me. He continues to show me His love and His plans and His purposes and His goodness. And I want you to understand that's where your focus needs to be. If you're here this morning and you've not put your faith in Him, I want you to understand that that's what He wants from you, and then you can be revealed to the truth of His words. God's Word is reliable. It is accurate. It is historically reliable. See, His resurrection changed my life, and it changed my story and my destination, and it still changes my everyday. And if you're here today and there are some things in God's Word you're not sure about, I want to encourage you to move past that and to focus on Christ. Because see, the living for Jesus, the believing and being in His Word and following Him is an everyday thing. We question God's Word. Why? Because it challenges us. I believe that maybe you're here today and you just are challenged by God's Word. And so sometimes we choose to ignore it because it challenges. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 tells us this. It says, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. My innermost thoughts and desires aren't always as pure as I would want them to be. And I need God's word to move me past them. I need God's word to correct me. I need all of God's word, and so do you. God's word is alive and powerful. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He's the one to whom we are accountable. See, we have this thing in our house because we have kids, and if you don't know, human nature is to blame and to compare, right? And so when something happens, and I don't always measure up here as well, and someone, yeah, but, and they, and this, I look and I say, you know what? They're not your standard. You guys know that Jesus is the standard of what we're supposed to model our life after. His word is our standard of how we live our life. And sometimes, and maybe you're here today and you're ignoring Him. You have not put your faith in Him. You are running from Him because of the fact that His Word is challenging. And you don't always measure up. None of us do. But it doesn't change the accuracy and the truth of His Word. So if you're here this morning, you're ignoring God. Some of you, as you hear this message, from something that's happened or wherever you're at, you're just ignoring Him. And I don't want to make light of the example I'm about to use, but if you go home today and you discover a big lump somewhere on your body, and you just say, you know, I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to ignore that. How's that going to end up for you? Probably not very good. And the same thing is true on a much larger scale when we ignore the Lord of the universe, because we don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with my sin. I don't want to deal with my pride. I don't want to deal with what happened. I don't want to deal with God's standard. I don't want to deal with the fact that I don't measure up. I don't want to deal with the fact that I maybe have a loved one and I can't, because of their life, I can't agree with God's word. I can't forgive that person. You don't understand. Guys, that's a dangerous place to be in your life. And if you're here this morning, I implore you to not stay there. I implore you to not ignore a loving God and a grace-filled Savior and the truth of the Word of God just because it can be tough for you. Dan, we're going to close in just 1 second today. When it comes to the resurrected Jesus and that truth of that claim of Scripture, the Savior of the world, the Word became flesh, choosing to ignore Him will lead to death, not life. It will lead not to freedom, but to bondage in this life. And it will lead into going into eternity without Him. So what if you this morning said, I'm going to allow Jesus. I'm going to let, as it says back there, Jesus be the subject. I'm going to focus on Jesus and the resurrection and let my view of the Son of God view how I affect how I view all other Scripture. I think that's a great place to start. Romans 5:1 says this. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So wherever you're at today, put it all aside for a moment and focus on this. God loves you, and your faith in Jesus, if you've not put it there, will make you right with Him. It'll give you peace because of what Jesus has done. And I want to close with one more scripture. Ephesians 1:7-8. It says, God is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. See, wherever you're at today, God understands. The doubts you might have, the things you've went through, what you're going through, He understands. And He wants to love you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to reveal Himself to you if you'll take a step towards Him with your life. Would you stand with me today? We're going to sing, and I'm going to have prayer with us. And as we sing, if there's anything you'd like to pray about, if you come to the altar, someone will pray with you. You can pray at your seat as well. You can come see me after service if you need prayer, you need to talk. But right now, if you'd like to come to the altar as we sing, we'll be happy to have prayer with you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You this morning, and I pray, Lord, You would work on our hearts and lives right now, Lord God, that we would put aside the other things and we would be willing to focus on Your Son, on the Messiah, the Savior of the world, on He who came and lived and died because of Your love for us, and Lord, to give us grace, to redeem us, to give us peace, to take our death, to take our sin, to take our shame and guilt, and Lord, to promise us eternal life, to promise us what is beyond our comprehension. And Lord, in this life right now, as we're dealing with things and stuff and people, Heavenly Father, You also, Lord, through the truth of Your word, give us all the answers we need. And for that, Lord God, I praise You in Jesus' name. And I pray right now, Lord God, as we sing, Heavenly Father, You would work on each and every heart in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.